Welcome to another episode of Hair Biz Radio with your host, Zakira and
Mikey.
Mikey has on a different color hat today. I don't think I've seen the black one.
Yeah, I don't like the black hat as much as the white hat.
Really?
I think because I'm so pale, the black is just so much contrast.
It looks
the
good.
I got a new hat and Zakira's got a new hat too, aka new hairdo.
Yes.
Actually very sophisticated.
Yeah, you know, real
on the Ray-Ban logo.
These are old, but yeah,
Sporting the Ray-Bans for the short haircut. So you make sure you're watching on YouTube. You can see exactly what we're talking about.
Oh yeah. And today we have a very special guest with us, Miss Britannica. She is a hair, fashion, and beauty consultant, and I look forward to diving into her story, see what she's been up to in the industry, how, if any of you have ever interacted with her, I'm sure you've had a great experience. So I'm just excited for her to be here with us today. Welcome. Wow.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, if you've ever been to Bronner Brothers in the last, we'll get into how many years.
Right.
Always on stage, always such a presence, always just giving out amazing information. So we're going to dig into that because Bronner Brothers, you know, recording it today, but Bronner Brothers is this weekend.
That's right. Yes. We're coming up this weekend.
Is there a second time?
77 years.
The second time in New Orleans.
Yes.
Right. So they tried out Miami. So we were in Miami a couple months ago and now we're going to New Orleans. Private label, obviously, will be there.
Yes.
You know, love the Bronner Brothers show and everybody involved. So, Zakira, where should we start? There's so much with Britannica. Should we start from the beginning?
I want to start from the very beginning. Like, what even made you want to get into the hair, fashion, and beauty industry?
Well, I basically come from a family of beauty. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always been someone in my family that either had a salon or that was involved in fashion in some way. Mm-hmm. Ever since I can remember, even from a toddler, you know, I would go into the salon and just sweep the floors. You know, so I guess you would call me a salon baby.
Yeah, that you were born in the salon.
Exactly. And loved every bit of it. Loved every bit of it, you know, which led me to so many different areas of hair, fashion, and beauty. I've been able to work with some really phenomenal people, models, different models, the Imans and the Beverly Johnsons and the Naomi Campbells. And the Garcelles. And I mean, it's just really, really been a blessing and an incredible, incredible experience. But my greatest experience actually has been with Bronner Brothers.
Nice.
Because I've been able to connect with so many people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, fellow professionals, watch students grow up into incredible, incredible stylists. You know, a mentoring stylist has been incredible. I mentored Oscar James and Takesha Sturtevant.
Nice.
They're both now in film, doing extremely, extremely well, you know. So the industry as a whole has been very, very rewarding for me.
I love it. So what was that first thing that happened? I know you grew up in the salon. Your family started off in the beauty industry. But, you know, sometimes in families, your family may do something, but you may not want to be in that family business. So what was that thing, if it was any like one thing that made you say, okay, I want to stick in this family trajectory in beauty?
That's really a great question, because I really think it's just about relationship and people. Mm-hmm. If you're a people person, beauty, fashion is really something that you will totally and completely enjoy.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It is about the relationship. I have relationships with clients that I've had 40 years, 30 years. I don't want to talk too much about age.
We're not going to get into that.
It is quite interesting how you grow with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you give of yourself, it's a very giving and very, very rewarding business. If you give of yourself, then you receive a lot. You know, you end up at their weddings and you end up at their baby showers.
Yeah.
All of the things that go along with just growth and living life from day to day.
I love it.
So if that's something that you really enjoy, people. You know, and people really need people. It's Barbara Streisand says, that's really, really true.
Definitely. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, so you said one of the greatest things was getting hooked up with the Bronner Brothers, mm-hmm. right? So you've been doing that some time now. And just a little context for everybody, we're in Atlanta today and Britannica's here. We'll be heading to New Orleans once again for Bronner Brothers. So how did you get connected with the Bronner Brothers family in the show? That's really something, because that was such a great connection that you had. And we were actually in the car just driving to one of our other stores, private label stores, and talking about networking and connections. So how did you get that connection? How did that evolve over the years?
I applied for a job at a store.
Really?
Literally. I applied for a job at a store when I was a teen, actually. I was looking for part-time work, and I was able to go in and get hired. I started out with 4 hours a day. And at that time, the originators were still living. Mr. A.E. Bronner and Mr. Arthur Bronner were the originators. And Mr. A.E. Bronner heard my voice, and they were opening stores. And he said to me, I want you to be on the microphone at the store when we open the store.
Nice.
From that, it just evolved. I just became a regular fixture.
Wow.
Literally a regular fixture.
That's incredible. Yeah, we had James Bronner on the podcast last year, and I actually think it's one of my favorite episodes
of Hair Biz Radio,
because just the knowledge he gave out, and it was just incredible. So, you know, I'm so happy that Private Labels over the years has built our relationship with the Bronner Brothers family and the show, because I think it's just such a staple of the industry. Like you said, 77 years.
It's a long time. It's a long time to be doing something and serving the community of beauty as a whole. It's not just hair. It started out as just hair. You know, I'm sure that James told you about his father and how he sold out of the trunk of his car and so forth and so on. And to have evolved and been a part of so many beauty professionals' development, which is what I always feel like life is about. It's like sometimes because I travel the way that I do, a lot of times I'll just go into a salon just to get my hair washed, go shampooed, you know, wash is incorrect. Let's get terminology right.
Get us together.
I don't want somebody coming down on me. That lady said wash is not clothes, it's shampoo. But in any event, just the idea of being able to create this vehicle, which is the show, to get people out into the market and to literally teach them, even though they've gotten their license already, what it actually takes to become a professional takes a lot.
For sure.
It really takes a lot, you know. And the company is moving into actually their third generation now, you know.
That's exciting to see.
Yeah, very, very exciting.
You know, after COVID, I mean, I think it really made you think about what you really wanted to do. Who do you really want to be? What purpose do you really want to serve?
Yeah.
You know, it's really important.
Oh, yeah. So what was the biggest lesson you learned kind of getting into the industry? I'm sure it wasn't like everything was just perfect and was aligned when you got in there. What was like maybe one of the hiccups or lessons that you learned in the beginning that you may have not known prior to?
Well, I'm going to speak for professionals in general.
Okay.
I think that because we're creative people, we think that we are the all out one. This generation in particular is worse than I think we were. But everybody is a superstar. But your timing is number one, okay? Because you have this mentality as a creative person that, oh, I'm the best and I can do this and this, I can do that. You are the best. You may just be the best in your own arena, but you are the best.
Right.
All right? You are very laxed many times about time. I believe that you should be wherever you're supposed to be at least a half an hour ahead of time. It's like this morning, I got here and no one was here. I was the only person here, you know. But that was a good thing, you know, because that showed you guys that I'm very interested in what I do. That's the number one thing that I learned.
I love that. That's a great, great tip for sure.
That's the number one thing.
Yeah, so you're down here from New York.
I commute between New York and Atlanta now.
Okay.
I'm actually developing client base here, doing a lot more consulting here.
Okay.
As well. I will always be in New York. New York will always be a part of my life because through the years, having had a salon for 24 years, you tend to pick up people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, literally, you pick up people and people pick you up and you become very, very close. And, you know, your business model is built from those relationships. So I could never really get away from New York.
Yeah.
You know, I must admit, I enjoy sitting on my deck here in Atlanta and listening to the birds. But I also enjoy the dirt and the loud noise that goes along with New York. So I find that I need both of them.
There's a balance. So you say you had a salon for 24 years in New York. What made you want to start the salon in the first place?
Well, I had worked for a large manufacturing company that opened a chain of salons at that time. The chain was called Black Hair Is. And Michael Weeks was their creative director at that time, mm-hmm. an incredible, incredible hairstylist. And I became associated with Michael, as well as James Harris, who was educational director for them. And I, to be honest with you, I was just coming back from Europe. I had modeled in Europe. And I came back and decided I wanted to go to beauty school, even though I had been doing hair all along.
Yeah.
You know? Because in Europe in particular, there are not a lot of American stylists that stay current with what's going on.
So you stood out over
there. So I stood out, mm-hmm. you know. In between modeling, I was doing hair. All the black girls came to me. They got their hair done. They wanted relaxers.
I love
that.
They
wanted straight hair, and they wanted a piece here and a piece there. And I could do that, you know. But upon returning, I became acquainted with them, and I decided that I wanted to go in and get my license. I attended Robert Fiont's School of Beauty there in New York.
Okay.
And got my license and went to work. Actually, I went to work for Black Hair Is during the time that I was in school.
Okay.
Because I came in as an assistant for Frank Walker, who now coincidentally lives in Paris and is a stylist there.
Nice.
And from there, I wanted to give a better service because Black Hair Is was a chain salon. There was no real intimacy. Everything was quick, fast, and in a hurry. It was very McDonald's, you know? And I decided that I developed relationships with clients, and they were constantly saying to me, you need to move on. It's time for you to move on. You know, they even offered to back me, you wow. know, to be honest, as a means of getting into a different level of salon, you know? So I found a location. And God sent me an angel. I actually had dealt with a real estate broker, and they weren't able to find me what I wanted.
Wow.
And I was just coincidentally walking up the street where the salon was that I was working at, and there was an empty building there. And on the side of the empty building, on the second floor, there's a woman in the window. And I still believe to this day that she was really a serious angel. Yeah. You know, if you can ever really believe that there's someone there to direct you yes. or to help you along the way. Mm-hmm. She was the one, because believe it or not, I was in that area for 24 years. I'm still in that area. And I have not seen her.
Wow.
This is a fact.
Wow.
It's really, really true. It's kind of eerie, but it's true. And I motioned to her, and she opened the window. And I said, do you know who owns this building? And she shook her head, yes. And then she said, yes, right across the street. They had just acquired the building. The building was completely empty.
Wow.
The floor I was interested in had been a television repair shop. So you could imagine they had one plug to repair a television. Super, what I call super small business. Wow. You know, one guy operated it. I walked across the street. Had a conversation with the owner, and I was the first person to take a space there and was there for 24 years.
Wow, that's
in
amazing.
In turn, it became my living room on Lexington.
I love that.
Literally. We always had coffee, tea, danishes, fruit for clients when they came in. We never kept clients waiting more than 15 minutes.
I love that, because you go in the hair salon now and it's an hour long wait.
Yeah. What's going on now, it's so unfortunate. What's going on now, it's a nightmare. And that's back to the show, to be honest about it. That's really the thing that I admire about the show.
Mm-hmm.
The family as a whole has made it their business to make you be a professional.
Yeah.
Now, granted, there are different levels of being a professional. You know, you have the kitchen titian, which will always exist. You cannot kill him or her.
Right.
They are just a part of the culture of America, mm-hmm. the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Yeah.
They really are. So you want to elevate yourself, though. You know, you want to give the client a much, much better service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every so often I will do something on social media about just being kind to clients. You know, like I have what I call Just Because I Love You Day.
I love that.
You know, and a client will come in, it's not their birthday, it's not Christmas, it's not Mother's Day or Father's Day, and I'll just have flowers ready for them.
Nice.
You know? Or a client will come in, you know, or we'll make their appointment, and we'll ask them, how is your time? Will you need lunch? Simple things like that
mm-hmm.
makes a big difference.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
how you treat your client is everything.
We need you to teach an etiquette class.
You know what? And I really, really work very, very hard, even when I'm working with Bronners, to get professionals to understand that. I was just out at Empire Beauty School just last week, and they were telling me about a horrible experience that they had had with someone. And I made it my business to find out who the person was that they had the experience with. Person is gone. Okay. And I really, really spoke with them in reference to how to service and how to treat a client. Okay. That is what leads you to a different level. That's why people ask me all the time, oh, you're still in that business? Girl, you never get tired of that business. You never get burnt out. I don't, because there's so much to do.
Yeah.
There's so much to do. You know, you become your client's friend. You don't only have to stand behind the chair, okay? You have film sets that you can do. You have magazine layouts you can do. You can create your own bridal organization, your own bridal business, you know?
Yeah.
You can do more. We even do morning coffee. Sometimes we're in at 6 o'clock in the morning, because now women, a lot of them have 7 o'clock meetings. So if you can do hot tools in a half an hour, that's a whole nother stream of money.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so just from the smallest level of the beauty business to the highest level, you have to understand where you belong at what time. You know, there's a different time for everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like it was my time to open a salon. When it came time for me not to have the salon, I got rid of the salon.
Yeah.
You have to understand that there's a timing for everything.
I love that. Honoring and respecting seasons.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I love that. So what has been your most memorable or influential experience in the industry in your years of being in the industry? If there's one or...
That I can have an impact on youth. I'd have to say that love I can that. Have an impact on youth. This morning I was over at Jean-Paul Mitchell School and I spoke there. And the response that I got, I always gear into a particular area of students. When I'm speaking with students, there's always a group that's eager.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a large group.
Right.
It's not a large group. You can have a house of 50 and it may be four.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But they feed on everything that you're saying. They listen to everything that you're saying. And I can see them a year from now, and they'll say, you're that lady that came into my school and spoke to me. And let me tell you what I did after hearing what you had to say. So that impacts me more than anything else.
I love that.
You know, because we really have to think. The world is going to go on with or without us. Mm-hmm. Okay? And there is a time we will meet our maker. So the name of the game is to serve your greatest purpose while you're here.
I love that.
You know, I was listening to Mikey today. I love the fact that he's always interested in somebody else.
Yeah. He's always been like
that.
You
know, it's not a me world. He's very a we world. This is a we world.
Right.
And we don't quite get that. We forget that we're given the gifts that we're given
for other
so that
people.
We can help someone else along the way.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's funny that I like it's such an important part. I'm going to make sure that clip is definitely cut up and for people to hear when you ask. She's been in the industry for quite some time. She has worked with all sorts of people. And the most impactful thing, you know, a lot of people will sit down and say, oh, I worked with XYZ celebrity.
Right.
Right. And like celebrities are cool. Don't get me wrong. They help the world of go around with TV and everything else. But it's not, it's just so, I think, somewhat small thinking about celebrity. Because a lot of times people ask me, oh my God, I bet you work with celebrity. So you work with, and first of all, I don't tell them anyway. But that's not the portion, because I too have spoken at Paul Mitchell School here in Atlanta, and I've gone around the U.S. and spoke at different schools with my book. And it is one of those things where it is so much bigger than yourself, because part of Fearless Beauty, my book, is why do you want to be successful? And a lot of people, when they can fully understand that it's 100% not about you,
that's
when
key
you
right
have
there.
That appreciation. Because for me, it was my mom. Right. I didn't want my mom to worry anymore about finances and paying a mortgage and everything else, which we suffered with growing up.
Right.
You know, so it's just getting that to understand it's the same thing. You do notice that core group of people when you're speaking that just
latch on. Yes. They understand and they want what you have.
And you can tell, like, I'm sure you spoke to some people afterwards and you can tell right away, this is going to be a successful stylist.
Exactly.
Or whatever their profession in the beauty mm-hmm. is. You can mm-hmm. really instantly tell a difference mm-hmm. because they're engaged. They're not just scrolling on TikTok. Like the information you're giving, you can't pay for this type of information. I wasn't there, but I can only imagine what people were learning. And that opportunity that a lot of people don't get at other schools, having someone that's been in the industry for a long time and be able to get this real information, it's incredible. And it's amazing that you give your time to get in front of this crowd to give them that knowledge that they really do need.
Yeah.
You know, but it's interesting. A lot of them, they don't take it seriously. They actually think it's kind of like a game. You know, I can do something and I can get paid and I can make a lot of money just in that order.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a get along to get along. You're going to get as much as you can just to get to this little place right here. And I really believe that saying information changes situations, but I also believe that applied information changes situations. And so when you're speaking to the youth, some people have this thing to where, oh, I know everything, or I don't have to listen to that because I can figure it out later, or I can do this on my own. And it's like when you have people like you in the industry who can come and share your story and share your knowledge, for those young people that grasp onto it and literally take that information and run with it and apply it, those are the ones that are going to be walking in your shoes when they get to where you are. Yeah.
That's what I'm proud. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm proud. I mean, it's like almost every day I see something that Takesha Sturdivant has done with Kerry Washington. Mm-hmm. Kerry Washington became her client during the time that we were on Lexington and 65th in New York. And she nurtured that relationship. She literally nurtured that relationship because you become friends. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was working with Iman every day, practically every day, we were friends, you know, and you realize celebrities are just people.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They really are. And everybody cannot do celebrities. Literally.
That's true.
So that's a farce in our industry. You know, and to a degree, it actually depreciates the industry, not the celebrity, but it depreciates the industry because they base everything they've gone to school and learned on working with a celebrity. Okay. But a friend of mine, James, always says, James Harris, he's out of Boston, been in the business, my God, since I was a child. I remember the first time I saw James Harris. He says, you have your bread and butter client. That's the client that comes into you every week or every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's your reality if you're going to exist in business. Mm. Who's walking through the door every week? Who's walking through the door every 2 weeks? Now, Iman is not walking in the door every week. Iman's walking in the door fashion week.
Yeah.
Okay. Or if there's a private event. Mm-hmm. You know, see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But Miss Jackson, she's going to be there every week.
Faithfully.
She sure is.
Yeah.
Okay. And she'll bring you a candy bar.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to begin to think that way. I don't knock working with celebrities because I've been blessed to be able to work with as many people as I have. But the value of the client is the value of the client. Mm-hmm. Whether you are, excuse me, whether you're Viola Davis, or whether you are Miss Wilson next door, the value is the same.
Yeah.
It really, really is. You know, so for me, all of my clients are celebrities. You know, whether I'm working with a client privately or I'm working with a client in salon.
I love that mindset.
And frankly, during COVID, you know, you had clients that were still obsessed with their beauty. I have one client in particular. I literally had to go to her every week. Literally had to go to her. Mind you, she didn't mind paying for it.
Right.
She'd send a car for me every week. I'd do her. We'd have lunch. Then I'd leave. Then the next week, it would be the same thing over and over because she was just obsessed and still is with being very, very polished, even though she wasn't going anyplace. She's the kind of lady that was very busy, but she gets up and she puts herself completely together.
I love that.
Yeah. One of the business basics that you can take from this is, you know, you really have to focus on your client. If you're so centric focused on money, it's going to totally mess you up.
Right.
Right. Money's going to come because if you're so focused on money and not focused on your product or service, depending if you're selling hair, if you're a hairstylist or whatever you do, that's mm-hmm. fine. You know, if you're focused on that and you're great at that, then
the money will come.
The money will come. Money will come.
And then also doubling down on that is you have to look at your core group. So you're talking about the bread and butter, mm-hmm. right? So you have to build your core group audience of people that are going to come in weekly, every other week. Take the absolute best care of them that you know how. Mm-hmm. After doing that, learn from someone like Britannica that'll teach you how to take even better care of them. So yep. do not stop at where you are today. Take even better care of them. And then slowly more people will come into that group. And then everything in business will be pretty good. It might not be
word,
amazing.
The word gets out.
It gets out.
It does. Yeah. Negatively or positively, the word gets out. It really does.
I think those are great principles to live by because even how you said earlier, just this generation, they have taken advantage of the people before them that have came and have laid the groundwork and the foundation of how to care for your clients and how to do business, not just transactions. And so I think it's so important that we get back to the basics of care for clients, whether that's in the fashion industry, hair industry, beauty industry. I think we all need that. That's important.
You need to keep your foundation.
Definitely.
You know, you really, really do. You have to be very disciplined. You know, it does require discipline. That's why I always tell people, if you love it, it's the feel for you. Mm-hmm. If you don't love it, stay out of it.
Yeah.
It's just that cut and dry because the skipping over here and skipping over there, you know, I've had very, very, very wonderful stylists, young kids that were wonderful, fabulous stylists. And they looked at the money. But they had no personality to give to the client. Mm-hmm. They didn't have, I call it magic. You know, the magic is in caring for me. That's just the magic.
Yeah.
It really, really is. You know, I had a great instructor. His name was Mr. Bob when I was in beauty school. And he'd say, honey, if you get them at the sink and give them a good massage and shampoo, you have them for the rest of their life. You know, and there's something very soothing mm-hmm. and very relaxing about that shampoo.
Mm-hmm. You know I love a I'm good saying? Shampoo.
Don't be in such, I had one assistant, she didn't want to do anything but shampoo. And she made more money than some of the stylists did.
Wow.
Wow.
From those good shampoos.
She literally could make love to a scalp.
Craft though.
Yeah, I love that.
And that's what she loved.
Yeah.
It really was. So, you know, so that's why, you know, getting back to celebrity styling, sometimes you find your gift in the smaller thing, mm-hmm. but that smaller thing is really a big thing.
Yeah. I love that. You find your gift in the smaller thing, but sometimes that smaller thing is really a big thing.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that.
It really is.
That's really good.
Yeah, I think, you know, going back to, we talked a lot in this episode about the younger generation and how it's a little bit different. I was actually listening to a podcast yesterday and something really resonated with me. And it's about the time of when you're growing up. So people that grew up in a tough time of a generation, right? When times are really hard, no matter what's going on kind of in the world, it could be one of the wars. I mean, there's been a lot, even in America in the last 100 years.
Yes, it has.
The people that grow up during those times, the hard times, right? It's just a totally different kind of animal as far as when it comes to working.
Yeah.
Right? Like if you grew up and you worked morning, day, and night to make the artillery for one of the wars, right? Like that type of generation is very different. And he mentioned, he's like, you know, the current generation was in a soft time, right? Like the economy besides 2008, 2009 for the last 20 something years, economy in the US has been really good.
Yes.
Right? It's been a very soft time for, I think, that part of the generation. Yeah. So it kind of creates a little bit softer workforce. But then when the hard times come, mm-hmm. you will have to learn
exactly.
that things get tough. Because mm-hmm. like myself and yourself, we've been through, you know, a lot of different recessions and other right. things. We were talking about it today. And it's going to kind of shape how the person is. So it's just, I feel like we were kind of in a softer time. And that's not a bad thing. I'm not trying to talk down about anybody or anything else as yeah. far as, it's just when you grew up and times were different.
And times were very different.
Someone had trouble getting to work. I'm not going to mention who, but someone, you know, had trouble getting to work, and I'm not going to give the reason because we'll know who. And I was in the car with somebody and I was literally like, this is the reason why this person can't make it to work on time. But I go back to when I was 14 working at a sports collectible store and it snowed 6 inches and I rode my bike 2 to 3 miles to get to that place to help open the store mm-hmm. in the snow, riding a bike.
Yes.
Like that's,
that was tough. A bike in snow.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
tough.
Yeah.
But it happened and it wasn't tough at the time because that's all I knew.
Right.
Right. That's, there was no, you're late to work. There was no, you can't show up to work. I mean, I would have to be on my deathbed to not show up to work.
Yeah.
I'm like, I have to be, I'm supposed to be there. You know, that's just
yes.
how it was. But now you see on TikTok, people are like, oh, I have 3 jobs. I don't really do anything, da, da, da. And they're kind of like, and they're even putting it on TikTok.
I'm yeah.
like, I don't know how you work this out, but this is so stupid.
Yes.
And then, of course, you know, 6 months later, they're laid off.
Yeah.
You know, or something like that. So it's just a different, it's a little generational
it
thing.
It is.
And definitely. It'll get into hard times, soft times, and over the next 100 years. It's just kind of like a
ebb flow. And flows of, mm-hmm. oh yeah. So what piece of advice would you give? I know you like reaching the youth and you just spoke at Paul Mitchell today. What piece of advice would you give someone who may have just randomly walked up to you on the street that may be younger, who is looking to get into the industry? What would you tell them?
Never stop educating yourself. A dead tree bears no fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You get to a limit and your brain, if it's a normal brain, it actually craves more. It's like my brain is craving more now. You know, this morning riding with Mikey and listening to him
mm-hmm.
activated my brain. So I am now craving more. I don't know where. It will definitely be in the beauty industry,
mm-hmm.
but I'm craving more.
Yeah, I love
that. So never stop educating yourself. Never stop wanting more for your brain, because the more your brain has, the more you can pass down to the next generation. You know, people talk about legacy, mm-hmm. you know, and some people, you know, they think that, oh, well, you have to be on Good Morning America for legacy. Oh, you have to have a television show for legacy, okay? You can have legacy in your own community.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yep. You know, remembering that this lady is having a hard time, okay? Remembering that there's a homeless shelter over mm-hmm. there. You know, let's go over and do some homeless people's hair. There's always something
yeah.
that you can do that's fulfilling in the beauty industry, always. You know, I have one little guy that I see every time I'm in Atlanta. And when I say I see him, I don't mean it intimately. I mean, I see him because he's a street guy.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm going into his area and I pick up something for him to eat. And I leave it there for him. You know, he's standing there and I say, here, take this, you know, and I give him some money and he always says, thank you. It's always you. Thank you. It's always you.
No,
well, I don't know. This man may suddenly wake up and be in an incredible, incredible position. And I may not be in the same position, you know, so to whom much is given, much is required.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just the nature of life and the way we live from day to day.
I love that. Servant heart. Love that. Love that. If there was one thing that you could share, an obstacle that you've had to overcome in the industry that could help someone else, what would that be?
An obstacle? Repeat that question.
If there was an obstacle that you've had to overcome over your course of being in the hair, fashion, and beauty industry, a lesson learned, what is that thing that you could share?
Staying focused.
Okay.
Staying focused. The creative brain is all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really is. And I think that that's why a lot of people cannot become professionals. You know, you have to stay focused
yeah.
on this one thing. It's like this morning, I asked the question, I said, how many of you would like to be hair cutters? Hands went up. How many of you would like to be hair colorists? Hands went up. How many of you would like to be weaving technicians? Hands went up. How many of you would like to be wig making technicians? Hands went up. Same hands went up for everything.
Yeah.
That's not healthy. It's like at our show, at the Bronner Show, we offer lots of free classes. And I tell them, decide what you want to specialize in. It's not that you can't do all of this other stuff, but there should be one thing that you're very passionate about, that you really, really love. And educate yourself as much as you can in that department so that you will master not just that technique, because there are different techniques in the same situation.
Yeah.
It's like with weaving. Sometimes you have to use a method called the Christina method. Sometimes you use a cornrow method. Sometimes you use the interlock method. So, you know, so you have all these different methods, you know, that you use. And sometimes you have to combine them.
Depending literally on the type of hair. Yeah.
That's right.
The style. Yeah.
So focus on whatever area it is that you want to go into. You know, it's like I know hair cutters. They get $500 for a haircut. But they're the best doing that haircut.
Yeah.
And to the natural eye, it may seem like they're doing a 40 degree cut, just like you see anybody else do a 40 degree cut. But it's something about the way that they bend their fingers just a little bit more that makes their cut different than anyone else's. So focus on whatever area that you want to be in, that you really want to go into, and be serious about that. You can continue to do everything else, but have won something. I always tell them, I said, you know, when you come out of beauty school, you're actually like a doctor. You come out with a general practitioner's license.
Mm.
But
OBGYN, yeah, we got you.
OBGYN, you see, I'm getting all crossed up. Makes more money than a general practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a cosmetic surgeon makes more money than the general practitioner. So you have something that you specialize in, and you can actually demand that dollar.
Yeah.
Okay, once you understand your business model, you can demand that dollar.
Yeah.
Okay, there were times when I was first starting out in the business, I'd do 15 clients a day. Now sometimes I do one client and I'm through.
I think basically what she's saying is, in the beauty industry, and especially with hair, don't be the jack of all trades and the master of nothing.
Yeah,
that is exactly it. In
so that's what it comes down to. You know, like in our industry with Zakir, and we've helped start so many hair brands over the years. So many times we've seen people say, okay, you know, oh my God, like my hair brand, we just launched it last week. I'm going to launch like a fashion brand now. And then I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, pump the brakes.
Right.
Like, make at least one thing successful and be really good at it.
Yeah.
Before you even think of trying something, which is probably not a good idea because you only have a limited amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So you can only be so good at one thing. And then if you're trying to just farm off all this, do all this other kind of stuff, what is that going to take away from your mastercraft? Right. So like here at Private Label, we've been really careful about the extra things we do. It's always related. But then here, we also are really good about getting the right people in the place. So as you grow your business, you know, for if we're talking a business, not just a single person operation for doing hair.
Yeah.
Make sure you have aligned yourself with the right people in your business.
Right.
So people might that know me say, hey, how did you become successful in the hair industry? And you don't know how to do hair. I said, that's a good question. If you come over to the office, you'll see who's in my office right next door to me. It's Dallas Christopher, educator Paul Mitchell for a decade, did all this stuff. I feel like he's one of the best in the business.
Yeah.
So who do I align myself with? The best.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then it kind of goes down the line for the different positions. So you have to really think about how you're going to grow your business. If you're going to have a salon, make sure whoever's at that front is really organized, right? Make sure that you know how to use a calendar.
Yeah.
I actually worked with someone and I was like, look, what calendar app do you use? Because sometimes like the times aren't working, right? And this goes for hairstylists especially need this.
Yes.
And she's like, oh, what do you recommend? And I'm thinking, oh my God, she doesn't use a calendar app. I was like, let me send it to you. Google Calendar is free.
Yeah.
Like, you should, if you're in business, you need to live by the calendar. If you're mm-hmm. scheduling clients, and you said mentioned in the beginning about how people are late all the time, right? Where's your calendar? You have to have a calendar.
Yeah.
You have to. You're going to forget. You can't remember everything.
See, I'm old-fashioned. I write everything down.
But it's still, you still have a
list. You still have something. Yeah.
You still have a list.
For me, I know what I'm doing. And you know, another thing, speaking of a calendar, you know, people actually don't know how to book. They have to understand. If, hypothetically, if I'm doing a cut, which is a shortcut, okay, I allot myself the time that I need for that shortcut. I cannot allot myself the same time for a longer cut.
Mm-hmm.
With the finish and the shampoo and everything that goes along with it. And in terms of making money, if I really get down to it, that's what the client actually pays for, okay?
The time.
They don't want to be held for ransom,
mm-hmm.
okay? If you have five clients within in the same slot, or if you have five clients within a two-hour area, somebody is not going to get out right.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a client waiting longer than 15 minutes before she gets to the shampoo bowl, somebody's not going to get out right. So understanding your own timing for how long it takes you to do a service is extremely, extremely important.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that they don't get.
Mm-mm.
Like I had a client to call me 3 weeks ago. Actually, so she sent me a text and she says, I've been sitting in this salon for 2 hours and this girl has not touched me yet.
Wow.
Can you believe it?
I would have walked out.
I sent her a text back and said, I really feel bad for you because I would not have been there 20 minutes.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
But the lady was desperate.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, frankly speaking, social media can come and go, but the best advertisement you can get is by word of mouth.
Yes, referrals.
Mm-hmm. Word of mouth can make you or it can break you.
Yeah.
And you can be the best. But women today don't have time to sit in the salon daily.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you work slow, book it for 2 hours. Book a shampoo for 2 hours on short hair if you work slow. Okay.
Yeah.
You have to understand your own self. And I'm going to be frank with you. I think that technology is wonderful, but technology has made them not be able to think.
Yeah.
It's made this generation, like we're sitting here having a conversation. A lot of them can't even have a conversation with you.
That is very true.
Really. And it's because they are on their computers or their phones constantly. You're relationship is your greatest asset, period. In this business, your relationship is everything. Like we were talking today, Mikey, you know, sometimes you just got to get back out in the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you mm-hmm. got to get back out there and you have to understand. I have three different categories as to how I book. Okay. I have my shampoo people. I have my chemical people. And that includes color. And I have my commercial hair people. Okay. Now, within each one of those categories, there's a different breakdown. So for beginners, I always tell them, your extensive service clients, always book them the first part of the week.
Mm.
Okay. A lot of stylists don't start coming into the salon until Wednesday or Thursday, to be honest about it. You know, they only book Wednesday through Saturday, Thursday through Saturday. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have an extensive service, book that client on a Monday or a Tuesday. If that's a 5-hour service, book her that 5 hours so she can get in, she can get out that 5 hours. You're compensated for your service.
That's good right there.
Yeah.
Book your shampoos, hypothetically, Wednesdays. This is how I train my people. On Wednesdays, you book nothing but shampoos on short hair. If you have a big clientele,
mm-hmm.
and you give yourself an hour and a half of each shampoo, because some of them are going to need moisturizing services.
Oh yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have a method as to how you even book your clients for their services.
Yeah.
You know, if you're booking wrong, like we just got in the salon that I'm in when I'm in New York, we just had a young man that we had to let go practically. Because he would have 6 and 7 clients. we're a luxury salon. Our clients are not used to that type of service.
Right.
Our clients are used to coming in, may I take your coat? Can I get you some coffee or tea? Did you have lunch? Would you like a snack? Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's after they come out of the shampoo bowl, when they're under the dryer. You see, we've gotten away from the basics of understanding how to service and how to make even our jobs easy.
Right. And even the experience, easier. Like yes, as someone who is coming to pay their money to get a service done, experience matters.
It is.
Regardless if you're at Starbucks, if you're in a hair salon, if you're at the DMV, if you're at the dentist, wherever you are, experience matters. And people remember that. And so that's absolutely why you have those repeat customers, clients that continue to come back, because it's the experience and the love and the flowers and right. the water right. and the coffee and the teas that makes them say, okay, I love spending my time here. And right. I don't have to wait 30, 45 minutes to an hour to get into a chair and be there for 5 hours.
Right. They're glad to come and they're glad to go. And yes. we're glad to have both of them.
Right.
Coming and going.
Yes, definitely. That's exciting. Is there anything else that we did not cover that you wanted to share with the people listening to this episode?
Well, I'm speaking as a professional to professionals. Know that this industry is full of different genres. Mm-hmm. Be open to all of the genres, all of them. There will be a time when you will be in the salon space and it'll be an everyday thing for you. Mm-hmm. There'll be a time when you'll have to run from the salon space to a photo shoot if you're open to it, or to a wedding, to do a bridal party if you're open to it. But understand that everything has its season. Mm-hmm. And don't feel that because perhaps I had a freelance friend and he called me, I remember years ago, and he says, my booking agent is not booking me. He's not booking me. So I said to him, come back into the salon. Be open to the season.
Yeah.
Don't get frantic mm-hmm. about anything, because this is just part of the flow. You know, the flow of the world right now is people are not as active. They're still not comfortable because of COVID. Be patient. They'll come back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. Most definitely. I love that. That's really good. Seasons, ebbs and flows, back to respecting and honoring the seasons. This was really good. Listen, if you're in the hair industry, the fashion industry, the beauty industry, this is an episode you definitely want to listen to, because I feel like a lot of people aren't touching on these topics now, especially with, like we talked about before, the generation we're in. It's very much cut and dry, get it and go. But you have to get back down to the foundation, the root of the actual industry, and making sure that the people in this industry are having great experiences and they're getting great information from great people. So thank you, Britannica, for sharing.
Thank you so
today
much for having us.
Yeah, I think there was just so many things she was talking about that it when I'm listening to her, and it just kind of really connected with kind of how my values are in business mm-hmm. and working with people. And I'm just like, this is the type of episode I think you're going to miss some of the amazing things she said. You really need to listen to it. And then a week later,
go back and listen to it again. Yeah, definitely. Like
take notes, mm-hmm. something like that. Cause I just think it was just so much valuable information. So we really do appreciate your time, and the industry appreciates you and your time and giving out your knowledge.
And I appreciate my time with you this morning.
Thank you.
You gave me a great class before the podcast.
Mikey has that effect on people.
Yes.
He's really great.
Really, you are such a blessing to the industry.
Thank you.
You know, I want to say that to you. Many, many, many manufacturers of different things in the industry. This type of time to spend with an individual. Mm-hmm. You and I saw each other at the show. I think our first introduction was when you wanted to do a show. Mm-hmm. But the friendship, like now our relationship is developing to a different level.
Right.
You know, that's why I said I'm trying to find myself again.
Yeah.
You know, what is this season bringing me? You know, mm-hmm. Mikey is bringing me something. You're going to bring me something, you know, and I'm going to bring you something.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, and recognizing it is the greatest asset.
I love that. I love it.
It means a lot coming from you, because I know you've met a lot of people in the industry. And like I said, a lot of people in the industry on the professional side, you know, they don't even know me personally by any means, mm-hmm. but I'm literally crazy about this stuff.
Oh yeah. Like, yeah.
I know you light up.
And I'm in year
when you're
10.
Talking, he was driving today and he was like a light bulb.
Yeah. I mean, I'm 10 years in and I'm still, people think, oh, you must know everything. I don't know. I feel like I don't know anything still at this point.
Wow.
But once you say you know everything, that's when it stops. And that's the problem. So be humble that you understand you don't know everything and you can continue to learn, because I continue to learn every day. And I think, and I try to teach others. And I think that's what helps make everything great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yes,
for sure.
And that's important. Open.
It's important.
Just like you said, never stop learning. Never stop allowing your mind to expand to get the knowledge and the information that you need for this industry. Yes. I don't think if you are a person who does not like learning or like the energy and influential that comes off of people, do not be around Mikey, okay? Because Mikey is one of those people that whenever you get around him, you will learn something. It can be the smallest thing. It could be a morning routine. It could be an app. It could be anything business. It could just be anything, personal or professional. And so I love that about Mikey too.
I just want to be better.
Yeah, like for
always,
sure.
Just always want
to be better. Drive the people around you to want to be better. So that's awesome. I love that.
Me too.
Yes. So thank you guys for listening or watching. If you are watching on YouTube, make sure you guys like, comment, subscribe. Let us know who you guys want to hear from so we can have them on the podcast as well. But we really appreciate you guys for rocking with us. We know that sometimes the episodes can get far in between, but we appreciate y'all for coming back and keep listening and watching. So shout out to y'all.
Bye.
Bye.